Good morning, family. Good morning. Welcome, welcome as you make your way here. It's very good to see you this morning. Are you here? Let us know. It's just at 11. It's so great to be here with you this morning. Let me know if you can hear me as you make your way over. Are you here? Type in the chat. I pray that you are well and that God is keeping you on this Sunday morning. Amen, Rebecca. Thank you. Speaking about the music in the prayer room. Yeah, I pray that it blesses you, that it just refills you during this time. And maybe I can find a way to share the soundtrack after the service so that you can continue to meditate on it during the week. Who else is here? Check in the chat. Say hi to each other. Greet each other. We'll do Love Assault shortly. For those who are here for the first time, hey, Ozzy, put your name. If you can see, there's a stage chat. There's a chat for the event, and then there's a chat for the stage where we are right now. If you will come to the stage and greet each other. Good morning. Good morning. Where are you signing in from this morning? And for those of you here for the first time, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for worshiping with BK this morning. And for those who listen to this recording after today, we welcome you. And we pray that God will fill your home, fill your car, fill your apartment, your room, wherever you are, that his presence will be with you even now. So great to see you and be with you. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to open us up this morning as we enter into worship.
Good morning, family. This morning, during our time of worship and song, we're going to be focusing on the steadfastness and sovereignty of God. And so I just wanted to open us up this morning with a passage of scripture for reflection, even as we then enter into our love assault and are able to share and catch up with one another, so that when we come back, we'll have our hearts and our minds focused on God's sovereignty and on his steadfastness, on his faithfulness, on how solid and how firm he is. And so I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 16, and it reads, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord."
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, you weren't live?
Nope. All right, thank you for letting us know we didn't have the cameras on. Welcome. Good to see you this morning.
Technical difficulties.
That's right. Those of you who are here for the first time, we welcome you. We greet you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for worshiping with BK today.
We'll work it out, y'all. So this morning, I guess you didn't hear what I just said, so I'll say it again. During our time of worship and song, we're going to be focusing on the sovereignty and the steadfastness of God, how solid, how firm he is. And to start us off this morning, I'll read for our reflection from Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 16. It reads, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. In verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Those in the women's group Bible study devotional session yesterday will recognize those last two verses in Hebrews 10. And then over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I am celebrating God this morning for his faithfulness, for his constancy in the midst of so many transitions and changes and things that are seemingly being shaken in this time in which we live. And so I am praising God this morning that he is steadfast, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. In the words of the writer of Hebrews, God, I pray that you, who are the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, will make us complete in every good work to do your will, working in us what is well-pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Father, we praise you this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in fellowship, not forsaking your call for us to be together, singing your praises, exhorting one another, stirring up love, and pointing each other back towards you. Father God, I pray that as we are in this time of worship and of praise together, that you will lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will have your way, that you will preside over this service, and that nothing that we do will draw attention to ourselves, but that you will draw our hearts back to you, draw our minds back to you, draw our lives back to you, O God. We thank you for your constancy, for your steadfastness, for your solidity, God. And we just ask, as we are with one another today, that you will move by your Spirit, that you will have your way, and that you will reveal to us the things that you need us to know in order to carry us through the week ahead and draw others to you. Please have your way in this time, in our lives, in us, around us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. We invite you this time to greet each other, to greet your neighbor, and what we call the love assault. And this is just an opportunity for you to check in, to say hi, to see where one another may be signing in from. And even in a virtual sense, to connect and to recognize that you are worshiping in community with others. Love assault is a time that is in a section on this platform that's called networking. And it is just a 2-minute conversation interaction where you can greet each other. You can go to networking and it'll ask you to, if you're ready to connect, and you can share your video, share your audio, and connect with people. If you're on the iPhone, you can use the Safari browser. Everywhere else, you can use the Chrome browser. And if something doesn't work, just refresh your page or sign out, sign back in. But yes, go there and then come back here at about 11:15, so don't get lost in networking and never come back to the worship service, but even worship now through sharing. So go ahead to the Love Assault in networking, and I'll meet you back here at 11:15. Amen, amen. Welcome back, welcome back. Thank you. So who did you meet? Who did you get to see? I pray you were able to touch base and get to see some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I recognize that people are coming back in right now from the networking time. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to just take us forward in song, even now. Bless you.
This first song is one that hopefully is familiar to many of you. And again, in the spirit of where we started service this morning, we're just going to sing to God about his sovereignty. You know, we have the privilege of serving a God who is not man-made, who does not sit on a shelf and is unable to interact, is unable to move. But we serve the one true living God who is powerful, who speaks and who listens and who moves according to his perfect will. And so we're just going to join our voices together through the interweb in song of praise to him this morning. Again. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone, you are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad. Unshakable, unstoppable, that's who you are. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's who you are. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's who you are. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's who you are. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Amen. And as I said before, you know, in our current time, in this current season, there's There are so many things that seem to be changing, so many things that feel uncertain, so many things that feel unsteady. But the next song that we'll sing this morning reminds us that Christ is solid, that He is the rock on which we can stand and stand firm. And I'm just going to read, I was doing a little research, a little background on this hymn as I was preparing for service this morning. And I just want to read a summary about the hymn because I think it'll help as we then sing it together with our understanding of what we are singing and how these words are to remind us of where we are and where we can be in God, regardless of what is happening around us, regardless of what things look like. So from a declaration of God's grace in the first stanza, to the application of that grace in times of trouble in the second and third stanzas, the writer of this hymn brings it full circle with the ultimate realization of God's grace in the fourth stanza. In the first stanza, hardly a clearer statement of total dependence on Christ could be made. The writer, Edward Mote, recognizes that our hope for eternal life depends completely on Jesus' righteousness, not on some sweet earthly frame. Nothing in this hymn ever hints that any work on our part can add to Christ's work in order to secure our eternal salvation. Therefore, as we sing, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame," we must think of all those fragile, temporal, and earthly things that we put our hope and trust in. Perhaps it's finance, perhaps it's family, our own righteousness, our own success, or a certain belief of how the Lord views us. We must also think about all our attempts to make ourselves acceptable to God. We must challenge ourselves and remind ourselves not to trust in these earthly frames, but only in the completed and full work of Christ. The hymn also is not ignorant of the reality of our daily struggles. In the second and third stanzas, the author recognizes that there are times when the doubts, cares, and darkness of this world will seem to weaken our fellowship with God and veil His face from us. Even in these times when all around our soul gives way, God has not left us. Our anchor of faith can still hold in the darkness, knowing through faith that even though not seen, God still sustains us. It is at these times that it is most important, in the words of the hymn, to rest on His unchanging grace. It is immutable, I would say, as we just sang, unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. It is a promise of God unto salvation that allows us to have assurance even in times of great spiritual darkness. The second stanza also refers to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And in this stanza, the author captures in one short phrase the timeless truth of our assurance of salvation and coming before God. So often we can doubt our position of coming before God, thinking, "I could never stand before such a holy God." And we would be right. However, we're reminded in this hymn that our hope is not that we can come before God, but our hope remains that Jesus entered into that most holy place and tore the curtain or veil that divided God and man, and that now in Him we can be fully confident to come before the Father because of Christ's work on the cross. As we sing these words, may we again remind ourselves that we have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, that Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. What a great hope. And I am just really encouraged by the words of this hymn this morning, and I'm holding on to them in this time when, again, so many things feel unsteady, feel shaken, feel certainly changeable and shakable and stoppable. I praise God that He is none of those things, but He in Christ is the solid rock on whom we stand. What are you doing now? My this frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. We're so thankful for the solid rock that God is and just how dependable he is. We're thankful that he is unchanging, that he is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. God, we praise you. We thank you. We acknowledge you in this moment. We invite you to be here with us. We know that you are here with us. God, we thank you so much for drawing us into a personal relationship with you, for drawing us into a community of believers. God, we pray that you might continue to help us to build our life on the solid foundation of your word, on the revelation of who you are. God, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to live a righteous life and to die a sinner's death and yet get up on the third day with all power in his hand. And now he sits at the right hand of you, making intercession for us. God, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify your name. Please do have your will and your way in this moment to your glory. God, we pray for the restoration. We pray for the refreshments. We pray for the refilling of your people and of your saints even now. We thank you so much for this time together. Have your will, have your way. Thank you, Lord. Family, I pray that you were able to sing those words to yourself or allow those words to wash over you. I began to sing and Hannah tapped me and said, Daddy, you're not supposed to be singing. So so I stopped that, but I pray that you were able to sing in your own space. I thank you so much just for being here. Once again, it is good to see you. It's good to know that you are here. For those who are worshiping with us for the first time, welcome. We welcome you. And, you know, this is a, we are the Black Church at Yale. And one of the things I appreciate about the Black church experiences that I've had is just the conversation that happens during ministry and our time together of corporate worship. So I encourage you and ask you to be active in the chat and to converse with each other and to interact with each other. And more importantly than paying attention to anything I say is just listening to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you and how the Holy Spirit might be getting your attention. I am grateful for our time together and pray just that it's fruitful in Jesus' name. If you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. The book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And if somebody can write that in the chat, that would be great. Right now, we are beginning a series called Second Wind. Second Wind. Amen. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you have your Bible, feel free to open it, but a few scriptures I'll put here on the screen. Matthew, thank you so much, Melody, for putting that in. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus saying a variety of things. And just before this, he prays and just thanks God for his revelation to his disciples. And Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'll read that again. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For our time together this morning, I want to speak from the topic rest. Rest. Today we begin a biblical starter series on wellness. I'm calling this series Second Wind. One activity I enjoy is going on long runs. I don't do it as much today as I would like to do and as I used to do. I miss the physical health benefits and other benefits. Sometimes I run focusing on the run itself, and other times I run to clear my mind and I run to sort out my thinking and to regain my composure. If you know what I'm saying, say amen. The furthest that I've run nonstop is a half marathon. Next to that, New Haven's 20K road race. One challenging run that I've done twice is named Ragnar. Teams of 12 run for roughly 200 miles as a relay from point A to point B on city streets and country roads, sidewalks, and bike paths. We run during the day, we run during the night, and then we run again during the day. And this just goes to show you what being a part of a peer group and what peer pressure can do to you. Because I don't think I would do those runs today on dark roads at night. And you sleep when you get a chance to sleep as you run along. It's a relay run. During my planned and unplanned long runs, there have been times where the remaining distance extends beyond my current ability to complete the run. In those moments, through a series of decisions and adjustments, I remember the times when I enter a different phase of ability that brought me safely to the finish line. In running, we say gaining a second wind. The Wikipedia author writes, whereby an athlete who is out of breath and too tired to continue suddenly finds the strength to press on at top performance with less exertion. The Siri Dictionary says second wind is a new strength or energy to continue something that is an effort. God says to the prophet Isaiah in scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But here it is, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For our series, Second Wind, our starter series on wellness, I want to speak from the perspective of getting right when things aren't right. Getting right when things aren't right. It's easier, in my opinion, in many scenarios, to maintain a positive trajectory. It is often harder when in difficulty to navigate one way's through. So let's talk about when life is difficult and how to continue through, how to move further ahead. I have noticed and I have learned that even the best lives have to decide whether to go further, whether to compete and complete a run. I have also noticed that the sprints of life often take care of themselves. As quickly as these runs begin, seems just as quickly as these runs end. Do you know what I'm talking about? You sit down to take a test. Shortly, the test is over. You stand up to give your presentation, and shortly, the presentation is over. You awake in the morning to start your day, and seemingly it's not long before the day comes to an end and you are preparing for bed. The sprints of life often take care of themselves. Whatever is needed, we deliver it during the sprint. And when the run is over, the pressure of delivery also is over. The marathons of life, we experience differently. And to be honest, many of us at some point ask the question, will I finish? We look ahead at what's coming, and by experience or intuitively, we notice that our actions which brought us to this point of a crossroads, are different from the actions we need to complete the run. It is in that moment of recognition that you and I are pose the question, do I go forward as planned? Life and mission have a way of pausing us. Living on mission and living off mission have a way of bringing us to the end of ourselves. Have you ever been on your last nerve? Come on, let's be honest. If that's you, say amen. Have you ever been on your last nerve? Have you ever cried your last tear? Have you ever made your last excuse? Stayed up overnight for the last time? Written the last sentence that you have in your head? Thought your last good thought, solved your last problem set, seen your last patient, completed your last case study, studied your last chapter, wrote your last entry in your lab notebook, conversed, mask on from a distance with your coworkers, raising your voice and straining your ear just to be heard and to hear for the last time? Signed on to your last Zoom call, knowing that you have a full schedule of Zoom calls next week. Have you ever been at that moment where you ask yourself, do I go forward as planned? How do I go forward as planned? You have given your all. You think you have nothing left, but you have more distance to go. In our opening text, Jesus talks about rest, but not from a perspective of ceasing activity. No, not rest for our bodies, such as going to sleep, which we should do. But Jesus names rest for our souls, from the perspective of the burdens we carry. Jesus names a state of rest that allows us to keep moving forward. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The religious leaders of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, developed burdensome religious requirements that they taught and imposed upon the people. They laid these heavy burdens, these unreasonable requirements upon the people, even though the leaders themselves were unable to fulfill their own requirements. The people worked, but they did not see progress proportional to their labor. And Jesus, thinking of his disciples, calls, come to me. I want to draw your attention this morning and ask you, what are you carrying? I want to draw your attention to the yoke that Jesus names. And I want to ask you, in this season of life today, what are you carrying that may be burdensome? What are you carrying that may not be the yoke that God provides? Biblical commentary says that yokes were heavy wooden crossbars used to connect two oxen together for more efficient plowing. And here, Jesus' yoke represents his own teachings. I don't know if you can imagine, but two big oxen or beasts, and they would be used to plow a field for planting or gardening or clearing some pathway or even pulling some load. And one ox would be able to pull a certain amount of weight in pounds and will be able to pull for a certain distance. But people found out that if you take this wooden bridge and you yoke two ox together, that they are able to pull a greater amount than they could do individually, and they are able to go a further distance. That's why it's important, brothers and sisters, parenthetically, just to mention that you be careful who you yoke yourself with, because you can go a further distance, but you can go in the wrong direction. But here Jesus is talking about his yoke, where his yoke represents his teachings, and allegiance to him and his kingdom results in a sense of peace. It is not laborious like keeping the requirements of the Jewish leaders at the time, but instead it is joyful. And so the yoke of Jesus is like the yoke that the oxen carry. It can bring a divine synergy that makes living free in Christ possible and even joyful. If being yoked with Jesus gives us the strength to carry on, what are some of the things we carry that can get in the way of our peace and our rest and our progress? Family, today, perhaps, what are the things that you are carrying that can get in the way of your peace and your rest and your progress? When I ask myself this question, I ask, what are the external expectations that shape my expectations of myself and others? What are my desires and my cravings that influence my thinking? What is the guilt that I'm carrying, which ties back into the expectations that I might lay on myself? What is the cloak or the spirit of fear? What is the spirit of torment, where I am overly fearful and overly concerned with being taken advantage of, or overly concerned with being rejected, or overly concerned with losing security, or overly concerned with being criticized? And so I try to live my life in full avoidance of any one of these things, instead of realizing that what God gives is power, love, and a sound mind. I ask myself, what are the religious rules? I had a very positive conversation with someone just the other day, and the question was, one of the questions was, well, what are the rules of membership, or what are the religious rules? And that was a good question. What are the religious rules, spoken and unspoken? Do I carry the rules of religiosity, and do I reject Jesus' direction to make my goal to love God and to love my neighbor? Do I carry a limited understanding or a misunderstanding of who God is? Have I gained the mind of Christ? And do I overcome what Isaiah says, that God's thoughts are not my thoughts, and that God's ways are not my ways, but God's ways are higher than the heavens, even so are his thoughts higher than my thoughts? I wonder and I ask myself whether I am carrying a limited understanding or a misunderstanding of how life works. Do I recognize the spiritual principles at play, like sowing and reaping? Are there emotional scars or wounds that I carry with me that end up being burdens as I go through my day and I try to perform according to some standard of how I think my life should go? Do I carry with me ignorance of knowing the score that indeed Jesus paid it all? That what I store up in heaven is of much more value than what I store up in earth? Even as what Jesus teaches, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and steal, where on earth thieves can break in and steal these things. Do I carry for myself a loss of the track of time, where I think like I have forever to do what I want to do and be what I want to be? Or do I do what David does and pray to God to teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, recognizing that life is but for a moment? What today are you carrying in your mind, in your emotions, that block your progress and your peace? Amen. Thank you for mentioning that in the chat. Insecurities. Amen and amen. When it comes to rest, many can conceptualize a change in schedule, using our time differently. When it comes to rest, we can conceptualize getting more sleep or doing less work or even doing work differently. When it comes to rest, we can stop doing. But how do we stop thinking? Family, how do we stop carrying a burdensome mindset? How do we let go of the insecurities? Is it even possible? Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, carry what I give you to carry and let me teach you out of my own life and out of my own words. Do you know enough of what God asks you to carry that you can recognize when you are carrying thoughts and ideas and expectations and strategies that God has never given you? Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to ask that question again. Do you know enough of God's word? Do you know enough of what God asks of you that you can recognize when you are carrying thoughts and ideas and expectations and strategies that God has never given you? Do you trust God enough to put on the mind of Christ and to put down from carrying and to keep from carrying and picking up the thinking of culture and the thinking of this world? I argue that it takes knowledge of and it takes submission to God's will to have rest for your souls. But that submission is a result of trust. Trust as in a willingness. Trust as in a decision to allow God to prove himself in your life. In closing, even the best lives have to decide whether to go further. Even the best lives have to decide whether to complete the run. Saints, throughout scripture, we have found believers who have come to the end of themselves, the end of current effort, but where there is more living to go, more mission to do, a cause unfulfilled. Jesus is, and Jesus was, no exception. If we look at Matthew, beginning at chapter 26, beginning at verse 34, this is an occasion where Jesus is saying to his disciples that he's going to the cross and that they're going to be scattered. And his disciples try to tell him and try to affirm, Jesus, things are going to work out better than that. And even if things do get bad, we are going to stick with you. And Jesus said to him, meaning Peter, assuredly, I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Verse 35, Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, so Jesus left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. What are some of the questions that you have asked yourself at this juncture? And this was Matthew chapter 11. Excuse me, this was Matthew. Chapter 26, verses 34 through 46. At this juncture, where exhaustion and capacity and vision and destiny and purpose and promise clash and hold a tense conversation, that the questions we ask ourselves and the dialogues are here that we entertain, they reveal a lot about where we are and where we are heading. Jesus on earth is heading back to God the Father in heaven by way of death on the cross of Calvary. He is paying the price for sins, sins that he did not commit. In this familiar place of prayer, Jesus has with God, his Father, a transparent moment where it says he went and he prayed and he said, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus had to decide to continue upon his journey, to finish his course, to accept the suffering prepared for him. Jesus, in his statement, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, Jesus affirmed his walk of obedience with God the Father. I am imagining what got Jesus through this moment. This was a transparent moment, saying both, I prefer to bypass the suffering, and God, as you will. Jesus submits to God's will. Jesus demonstrates what I think must be extraordinary trust in order to continue this journey. Jesus perhaps trusted God's follow-through, trusted God's sovereignty, trusted God's intent. In his Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus lays down concern for the imminent suffering he is about to experience. Jesus lays down control over how things go. Jesus affirms his trust of God the Father and is able to continue his run. Closing here, what I want you to know today, family, is that God is trustworthy. Paul told the believers in Philippi, in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Christian Standard Bible reads this way, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Family, I want you to know today that God is trustworthy, that what he has begun in you, one, is a good work, and two, he will complete it until the day of Jesus' return. Now, everything that you are doing may not be what God has started in you, but the good work that God has started in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So to build your trust, do this. And that was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. To build your trust, number one, meditate on God's word, all of his word. Number two, do God's word. Be a kinetic learner and an experiential learner. Listening to someone else's digest of scripture is good, but it is not enough. Take the journey yourself. And number three, write the faith soundtrack of your life. Number one, meditate on God's word. I use two things. I use the Dwell Bible app, which just reads scripture over me. And I use something called Soul Care, which is a Christian app for meditation, which reads God's words of affirmation over our life. To do God's word, not just read God's word in your Bible, but also to do God's word. And number three, to write the soundtrack for faith for your life. Music is powerful in transforming our thinking and bringing us back to right thoughts with God. What is the soundtrack of your life? When I was in college, the soundtrack that we played was For Every Mountain. You Brought Me Over. That was the soundtrack. And when I got to grad school, the soundtrack was I Almost Let Go. I was right at the edge of a breakthrough, but couldn't see. And it talks about how Jesus came and grabbed me and prevented me from letting go. What is the soundtrack of your life? Even now, I invite Lady Rochelle to come. But I'm going to play a little bit of this song just in closing to help you meditate. You may know the words. Family, I just want to give you a little bit of taste. We don't have time in this setting necessarily to fully listen to that soundtrack. Now, that's my soundtrack. That's part of my history of who God has been in my life, that for every mountain, he's brought me over. So anytime I get into a scenario where I'm trying to do a project or I'm trying to live my life and I have the question of whether or not I can make it, and I want to know whether or not the good work God has started in me, whether or not he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, I am reminded that for every mountain that I've experienced, he's brought me over. And for every valley, he's brought me through. And then I change my concern to praise. I praise him for what he's done, and I praise him for what he shall do. I encourage you to begin to write the soundtrack of your life, to begin to write the bibliography of the scriptures and the songs and the words and the truths and the names that God reveals to him, reveals to you of himself. During this time, we're going to close with our song. And our song, as you may know, is We've Come This Far by Faith. And this is part of the soundtrack of BK. This is part of the soundtrack that people began singing when BK was founded and have continued to sing. And it says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And then it says something, he's never failed us yet. He's never failed us yet. We can't turn back. Not that we don't have the opportunity to turn back. Not that it wouldn't be convenient to turn back. Not that we are not tempted to turn back. But we can't turn back because he's brought us so far. Not just individually, but collectively. We've come this far by faith.
We've come this far by faith. Leaning on. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Leaning on.
Thank you so much for this time today. It has been time well spent in the presence of the Lord, and we pray that you are encouraged. We close our conversation now just thanking God for who he is and who we are in him. I will stay around for a few moments in the hospitality room and sessions if you want to drop by and say hi. If you intend to eat lunch virtually, just let us know, say something. I'll be on for a little while, and you can let me know if you want to eat. But I pray that God will go with you this week, that he will go before you, and that you will find rest for your souls in Christ Jesus. Family, we love you, and we just praise God for who he is and who we are in him. Lord, do all that you purpose to do. Go before your saints even now. Prepare the way. Give them favor. Take every crooked place and make it straight. Take every valley and raise it up. Take every mountain and bring it down. And lead us in the path of life for your glory. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, family. Love you, family, so much. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Yeah.